Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
As you can see, we've had our eye on you for some time now, Mr. Anderson.
No 9000 computer has ever made a mistake or distorted information.
You and Nexus, huh? I design your eyes.
My CPU is a neural net processor, a learning computer.
Shall we play a game?
All right, because we're talking about tech and AI, and you'll find it not surprising at all that it's going to be a horrifying story, but here goes. Brown University economics professor Robert Serrano is teaching a class entitled Wealth. This is at Brown University. So, you know, if you find liberals and then you find people that they think are liberal and then you find people that those people think are liberal and then you find people who those people think are liberal, more liberal than that, Brown University. Did you know I almost went to Brown? I tried to go to Brown.
Almost went to Berkeley.
I could have gone to Berkeley.
And nobody is more surprised.
And
than
I turned it. Well, I was a raging liberal back then, and I turned it down because out of state housing. Good Lord. But Brown, I applied to like five places. U of I, Illinois was my backup. But Brown was one I applied to. I'm trying to remember where the other ones were. Georgetown, I think, was one. Anyway, got in at Berkeley, got in at U of I, said no to Berkeley, and you know the rest is whatever it is. Anyway, so Brown University, home of, I mean, like when you think of liberal institutions, Brown is the defining example of that. The class in economics, welfare economics and social choice theory, which I think would be a fascinating class, quite frankly. He gives his students a take-home test in the midterm because, right, they had gone through, you know, all of the stuff. They had a gunman that came on campus and killed two and in December, injured nine. There was a mass shooting. And so, you know, the idea was a lot of anxiety about having to be in class and, you know, for an exam. And, okay, fine, I'll let you do a take-home I'll let you do a take-home exam. Well, students these days of a certain age, what do you think happens when he gives them a take-home test?
ChatGPT.
They cheat! They cheat rampantly.
I know, but it's way harder than you.
Well,
have you taken an online class?
Oh,
lately?
No.
Yeah, they're on to you.
Yeah. No, well, okay, so here's what happens. He teaches this class, and the average grade on the midterm in this class historically ranges from 65 to 80%. And he deliberately wrote it harder because it was going to be an at-home, right? Because if you have time, then it should be a little bit harder. And he gets the grades back. And they're all spectacular. Like, almost all of them are in the way high range. You know, we're talking hundreds, 98, 98, 95. I'm actually looking at the grade matrix. It's, you know, 95, 100, 100, 94.5. There were occasional, like, one person had a 70. You know, another person had a, like, an 81. But almost all of the students, and the class was way overpopulated, like 80 students, and everybody did great. And he's like, well, that's weird. So he had his graders run the test through ChatGPT and, you know, see what ChatGPT said were the answers. And they came up with exactly what the students were saying. And, you know, weird answers, like a little bit of an odd way to get there, not the normal way you would get there. But once ChatGPT decides, okay. So then he sends a message to his students and he says, I believe that a lot of you have used AI to cheat. And because of this, I've asked the dean, and the dean's allowing me to have the final exam be in person. And we'll see. And anybody that has a big disparity between how they did in the midterm and how they did on the final, there's going to be problems, right? So he said, I'm not declaring the midterm void. I'm just going to give the class a chance to prove me wrong. That is, if the distribution final exam is roughly similar to the distribution of the midterm, I'll count the midterm. Otherwise, which is, of course, what I expect to happen, I'll declare the midterm void and reweigh the final accordingly, as in he's going to throw out the cheating. So nobody answered him back. 18 people dropped the class immediately. Right. 9 people stayed enrolled and did not take the final. I don't know how that works. And the results of the people who actually stayed in and took the final absolutely confirmed the average score in the final, 48. And I've seen the like disparities. They published a chart of, you know, how big the disparity was. You know, people who got a 99 were getting a 21. People got 100 were getting a 33. Like, it was massive, the discrepancy. And so, you know, this is just kind of modern society, is teachers trying to figure out, how do we actually teach people to learn, to know, so that they can become actual developed, educated human beings, as opposed to people who just know how to enter something into, you know, the search box on ChatGPT. He says, and, you know, obviously cheating has to be taken seriously. AI has to be taken seriously. He says, we cannot afford to have a society in which a significant fraction of our best young minds think that cheating is okay. That's true. He says, and it leads to a declining society, this use of AI, to a failed society. We cannot choose to become idiots. Yet we are. So there you go. That's your happy times. AI is amazing. That's your tech update story for the day. Let's see. If you if you need a roof, or you think you need a roof, or you're not sure and you want to ask somebody, hey, Quality Roofing Solutions is there for you for just that. Brian Ward started the company 20 years ago in 2006. And the idea was to just be normal people, you know, to talk to you like a normal person, not talk down to you, answer your questions, make you understand if you don't, you know, help you grasp what's going on. 10% of their business is repairs, 90% is you know, replace, and sometimes it makes more sense financially. Anyway, they'll explain all that to you. The point is, they're there to be the kind of people that you want contractors to be. And the results speak for themselves. You know, 10,000 roofs later and a 4.9 rating on Google, pretty impressive. They warranty for lifetime the workmanship of their roof, so you know you can count on it. Good members in the community. Of course, you hear them on Pep Talk all the time. Excellent people. QualityRoofingSolutions.com, 777-0961. Candy has traffic on the fives.
It's brought to you by Barbary Plumbing. Highway 97 headed from Molino into Atmore, a little slow as they work on road repavement. And front gate of Pensacola NAS is backed up past the Shell station at this time. Hopefully they'll figure it out and it'll start to move a little bit quicker as you're making your way onto Pensacola NAS this morning. That's the only thing that I'm seeing. When it's time to call a plumber, call the best of the Bay winner. That's Barbary Plumbing, 477-8782. I'm Candy with your traffic on the fives at 617. Oh, whoops.
Summer is here and Prim and Popper is ready. From officially licensed Blue Angels and U.S. Navy merchandise to custom engraving and branded promotional products, they do it all right here in Gulf Breeze. Shopping for yourself, buying a gift, or putting your logo on something your customers will actually keep? Go see them. Visit primandproper.com or stop by their shop in Gulf Breeze, located in the heart of Proper on the way to Pensacola Beach. Prim and Proper, officially licensed, locally loved.
The history of the Blue Angels is brought to you by Prim and Proper.
The Blue Angels had been known as the Navy Flight Demonstration Team. But in December of 1973, an organizational change was made, and the Blue Angels were commissioned as the Navy Flight Demonstration Squadron. And while that may seem to be just a matter of semantics, its structure within the Navy is significant. The status and organizational importance is much greater as a squadron. And as a squadron, they have their own true commanding officer, while as a team, though they had a flight leader, they were under the command of the CO of NAS Pensacola. As a squadron, they would also have more support personnel assigned to them. Additionally, with the classification as a squadron, the maintenance crew's total responsibility was to maintain the Blue Angels' planes. Under a team classification, the maintenance personnel could have been pulled at any time to other duties, which could have adversely affected the readiness of the team. As a squadron, they would have more authority and control over their activities. And the first commanding officer of the new squadron was Commander Tony Less. Another change made at the same time was the transition into new aircraft. While the F-4 Phantom was a spectacular jet, it was very expensive to maintain and fly. Its two engines guzzled fuel, and that was not a good trait in the midst of the 1973 energy crisis. So the Blue Angels switched to a slightly smaller single-engine aircraft, the McDonnell Douglas A-4 Skyhawk II. Though smaller than the Phantom, the impressive maneuverability, rate of climb, and shorter turning radius proved to be exceptional qualities for their role as demonstration aircraft. These A-4s also required far less maintenance than the Phantoms, which allowed the Blue Angels officers and crew to spend more time helping young people interested in careers in the Navy. Recruiting was one of the primary missions given for organizing the team into a squadron. The first public performance in the new Skyhawks was on May 18th at Offutt Air Force Base in Omaha, Nebraska. Among the pilots in the 1974 season was a 29-year-old captain in the Marine Corps. He flew the number 4 slot position, and his name was John Fogg. Who'd have predicted that 20 years later, he would be selected as mayor of Pensacola? I'll be back with more after this. The Blue Angels are known for their breathtaking aerial performances, not for saving lives. But that's just what they did. Find out how in the next chapter of News Radio's History of the Blue Angels.
Hobbies can be fun and expensive. How about a hobby that's fun and could make you money? Find out this morning at 10 with Emerald Coast Coins. Hear about precious metals and metal detectors as a great hobby. For nearly 20 years, Emerald Coast Coins has been one of the top-rated businesses in Northwest Florida to buy and sell gold, silver, and the best metal detectors to find treasure. Get more information this morning on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Delicious seafood is what you'll find at Davis Catfish House. Davis Catfish serves only the best Mississippi catfish, fresh Gulf seafood, and delicious homemade sides. Weekday specials include two times Tuesday, six free shrimp added to the six-piece dinner. Wednesdays offer lunch basket specials. And everybody's favorite, Shrimp-tastic Thursday, $5 off all-you-can-eat shrimp. Serving fresh seafood daily, visit Davis Catfish House on Dogwood Drive in Milton. See you at David's.
Something important happens.
You don't have time to wait.
Breaking news lives here.
Here.
On News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
As a Burger Shack employee for the past 3 years, if there's one thing I've learned, it's that if you're craving White Castle, the burgers here just don't cut it.
I love that you know this song. I like to dig deep
Valley
in the
Girl
archives
soundtrack.
Sometimes. 437-1620 is my phone number. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Good to have you with us. This is the radio show you've been looking for. I'll just tell you, this is the one. Like, if you're just driving through, well, you can always listen to us out of the air. Like, if you're not from here and you discover, you're like, oh, this is great. But they're talking about Pensacola, and I live in, you know, Dallas. Well, I don't know. You can enjoy us out of town. People, I just had a text in today. Somebody was listening
come
from Mississippi.
Come visit our beautiful city.
Yeah. Come here just for the radio. It's worth it. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines this morning. David?
Well, good morning. President Trump is back in Washington now after a two-day NATO summit in Turkey. While he was there, he pushed for increased defense spending from member nations, a deal with Ukraine to aid in their war with Russia, and a renewed call for U.S. control of Greenland.
I don't want to tell you how to do your job, David, but have you not watched any of the World Cup?
No.
It's not Turkey. It's Turkey! You have to talk
all
about
right,
Turkey!
I'll have to note that. Yeah, jot that one down.
It's not, it's not Moscow, it's Moskva. It's not Kiev, like the chicken, it's Kiev. And it's Turkey. With enthusiasm, sure.
With enthusiasm. Is that the key to the pronunciation?
And it's not,
of
is that Qatar, as some of these. It's Qatar. Go on.
All right, I will work on that.
No, you don't have to. I'm absolutely joking.
Let's see. A video statement from the roommate and romantic partner of the man accused of killing Charlie Kirk is expected to be played in court today. The police interview with the name is Lance Twiggs is part of the prosecution's case against Tyler Robinson that's being laid out during a week-long hearing in Utah. And Bonnie Tyler has passed away.
Yeah.
Her health had been in the spotlight recently. Back in May, she had to be rushed to the hospital for emergency intestinal surgery, and she was temporarily placed in an induced coma to help in her recovery.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. Sad news about Bonnie Tyler. 75, right? That's what I remember from the morning report on this.
Yes.
Yeah. Yep. Right. 625 here on News Radio 92.3. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
And we're watching the front gate of Pensacola NAS. It is backed up past the Shell station almost to 98 there, so use caution there and caution wherever you are. 437-1620. You can text if you see that accident or slow down this morning. Candy with traffic on the 5, 625.
Thanks so much, sure. Candy. One of the interesting things that happened while I was on vacation last week is UWF came out with new branding. Have you seen the new branding, Candy? Have you by chance?
No.
Okay.
We're still the Argos, right?
Well, some things are open questions. Yes, we're still the Argos, but there are other issues. Let's just put it that way. So I had somebody, one of the people who used to work here, she had texted me and she said, are you going to be talking about this? Because she's a grad from there. I'm like, I will eventually. Now, I gave a lot of love to UWF, yesterday or the day before, talking about their metric scores, which is fantastic.
Aren't they great?
I'm not going to give them as much love on this particular topic. So, Candy, you had not seen, right? So I'm going to show you. Okay, so this is the old logo, right, with Argy on the left and the turquoise helmet. Blue yeah, and the sure. kind of the green head mohawk. And then this is the other one is, you know, Argy with the sword across the top of the West Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And you see the colors, you know, that kind of.
The blue and green that we're used to.
Yeah, the bright green, bright blue, kind of true blue, true
colors,
green. Okay.
Sure.
The new brand is this. You see that with the UWF letters in a more of a dark green and a like a dark navy blue. It looks very much like Seattle Seahawks colors.
Yeah, I was going to say it looks like varsity.
Yeah.
Like you would get it on a letter jacket.
Yeah,
or something.
And they've been wearing colors, I think, somewhat like this anyway.
You don't like?
Well, first of all, where's Argy? I mean, Argy the Argo is kind of one of our like main symbol things, and he's just not there anymore, which is, I think, a loss. It's, you know what it reminds me of? It doesn't look bad, okay? It just looks less interesting. It does look a little bit more, I don't know, classy maybe, but I don't know that that's the look we were hoping for. It's, you know, the old, the landscaping, the shrubs, the hedges, when you drive into UWF, you
sure,
go up.
They kind of look like that.
You go up college, and what you see is the UWF. Well, those, of course, are not there anymore. What we have now is this. Oh, you hadn't seen the.
No, I
oh,
haven't
look
been
it
over
up.
There.
Yeah, no, there's, yeah. It's completely redone in bland, boring, I'm sorry, concrete with flagpoles. It's fine, but it used to have a very local, particular, we knew it character, and it was kind of a nice thing. When you go to UWF, you see the hedges. Oh, that's cool looking. And now, you know, it's not. The Nautilus shell is nowhere in the iconography, you know, really. So.
Oh, that's interesting, too.
It's
that whenever
not
you would
that
log on to the EDU
it,
site, it was.
Yeah, and
right
if you
there, and
if you
gone.
The press release that came out with this says, for nearly 60 years, Nautilus shell has served as a defining symbol of UWF, representing progress and the university's connection to place. While the shell is no longer featured in the primary institutional logo, I think sadly, it remains an important part of UWF's identity and heritage and will continue to be represented through the academic seal and other institutional brand elements, you know, backseat, middle on the hump, in the closet where nobody can see it, right? Like it's, things have identity and people have attachment to symbols. Think, you remember Bruce Woody was new in the job at ECUA, and they were going to repaint the water tower on Cervantes and 110, and they were going to get rid of all the Blue Angel stuff, you know, and get rid of the, you know, the cradle of naval aviation. And we found out about it, and I pitched a huge fit, and I said, don't you dare. And eventually, when a lot of you also pitched a fit, said, what the hell? They realized the error of their ways, and they painted what we have now, which is, you know, Blue Angels and the cradle of naval aviation and the welcome to Pensacola on it. That stuff matters to people. That's important to people. Images, signs, pictures, icons are totems, is what philosophers would call it. These are the connections. You know, if you look at the Ernst Cassirer, you know, these are things that people create to represent and capture meaning for us. And just like, you know, the Pensacola beach ball or the, you know, sailfish sign or all kinds of other things, you form attachments to things, and those, you know, the American flag, okay? These have meaning to us, and they are how we connect ourselves to a range of ideas and history and feelings and emotions and meaning that it's hard to replace with something else. And when you change it, it's kind of invalidating all of that stuff because nobody looks at the new UWF logo and has all that attachment. Nobody looks at the new welcome area and has that attachment. If you got rid of the sailfish sign, it would just be a missing thing. And if you put up one that was, I don't know, a little more modern, you'd be like, ew. You know? So change your iconography carefully. Change your logos carefully. Again, new students are not going to know the difference, and over time, nobody will remember, but I remember.
And as you're a like huge, Pepperidge Farm.
Yeah, and so, yeah, I was sad to see this happen. I kind of knew that they had said it in a trustees meeting over the summer, but I was kind of hoping it wouldn't come to be, and here we are. All right, coming up next, updates from yesterday from the shooting over the weekend.
Fox
News, I'm Gianna Gelosi. After months of scandal involving a Nazi-looking tattoo, offensive Reddit posts, reports of unsettling behavior, and finally a rape allegation, Maine Senate candidate Graham Plattner is dropping out of the race.
This is incredibly difficult because I know that some will think it's an admission of guilt, and it most certainly is not. We're not doing it because of the allegations. We're doing it because of the structures that are being taken away from us by those in power.
He denies the allegations. Maine Democrats now planning a convention to replace Plattner. President Trump promised more strikes on Iran, and he delivered.
CENTCOM saying some 90 sites were hit, including port cities along the Persian Gulf coast, an airport, and bridges further inland. And that was followed again by Iranian strikes against U.S. military locations in three Gulf nations, Kuwait, Bahrain, and Qatar.
That's Fox's Greg Palcott. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 6:31 at News Radio 92.3. And right now we've got 80 degrees with partly cloudy skies. We're going to get a look at our forecast here in just a few minutes. Well, police say the man they believe that they believe fired the first shot in the deadly 4th of July weekend shooting downtown has been arrested.
26-year-old resident of Mobile, Alabama, named Nicholas Safford, was arrested yesterday by detectives of the Pensacola Police Department for aggravated assault, for discharging a firearm on scene, and for being a multiple-time convicted felon in possession illegally of a handgun.
And that is PPD Chief Eric Winstrom. A second person, 25-year-old Lillian Myers of Escambia County, was also arrested. She's accused of taking that gun from the scene afterward. So far, neither has been charged with the homicide. Police say that the investigation into the shooting, which killed 19-year-old Philip Shepard Jr. and wounded six others, is still ongoing. Well, Pensacola is moving ahead with a new bathroom facility at Veterans Memorial Park downtown. After years of back and forth on that project, Mayor D.C. Reeves says the city's settled on a prefab building rather than a custom design.
We're moving ahead full steam. Again, you know, we learned through the media that they're just ready to have a building, which was the best news we could hear because we've been saying the same thing for a year and a half or 2 years. So that's what we're doing. We've got a prefab building going in, and we're working our way there.
And Mayor Reeves says the funding details on that should be made public by within the next couple of weeks, actually, once the city finishes its budgeting process. Now, Pensacola International Airport getting a federal boost. The city says a $425,000 grant from the Department of Transportation will fund a planning study to redesign the airport's curbside and roadway system. Mayor D.C. Reeves credits Congressman Jimmy Patronis for helping to secure that funding, along with Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy and Senator Ashley Moody. A Pensacola man is facing an attempted murder charge after firing at police during a pursuit in Atmore, Alabama on Tuesday. Atmore police say they pulled over Dylan Thompson's vehicle, but he dropped off a female passenger and fled. During the chase, Thompson was seen firing a gun from the moving vehicle. Eventually, he got stuck in a field where police used a drone equipped with a public address system to talk him into surrendering without further incident. Officers say they found crack, cocaine, marijuana, and drug paraphernalia in that vehicle. Thompson is being held at the Escambia County, Alabama Detention Center. Now, two snorkelers were pulled to safety by deputies in Okaloosa County near Destin's East Pass over the holiday weekend. The Marine unit said they responded to a distress call on the 4th of July and found a pair struggling in the water. They were pulled safely onto the deputy's boat. Neither was injured. The sheriff's office reminding swimmers that currents near the pass can be extremely strong and dangerous even for experienced swimmers. Well, former Governor Jeb Bush and Congressman Carlos Jimenez warning about a potential threat from Cuba. The two met in Coral Gables yesterday to talk about Cuba's ties to Iran. Cuba has reportedly bought more than 300 military drones from Iran and could use them against Guantanamo Bay or Key West. Jimenez says the drones could reach as far as Atlanta and calls Cuba's government a real danger, just 90 miles from our coast. 6:35 at News Radio 92.3. Let's check in with Candy, who's got our traffic on the fives.
Watching Highway 97, if you're headed from Molino into Atmore, there's a little slow as they work on the road repaver, and front gate of Pensacola NAS is backed up right to the Shell station, so it's moving now, but real slow at this point. It's backed up over the bridge. Certainly, if you see an accident or an incident, 437-1620 can let us know by texting Candy with traffic on the fives.
We will be seeing about a 30% chance of a stray pop-up shower. Otherwise, mostly sunny skies, high near 91. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 80 degrees. For Friday, mostly sunny skies with a 30% chance of rain, high near 91. Friday night, temperatures dropping near 82. Heading into Saturday, 30% chance of rain with a high near 92 degrees. And Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 81. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Right now, 80 degrees across the area. We've got partly cloudy skies, and the heat index is rising already in the mid-90s. Our next news at 7, and breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Pepsi reported weaker than expected quarterly earnings. The company's revenue topped Wall Street estimates, boosted by strong international demand for its snacks and drinks. Pepsi also reiterated its full-year forecast. Treasury yields were steady this morning after the previous session's yield spiked as traders awaited domestic economic data and monitored hostilities in the Middle East. The key 10-year U.S. Treasury note yield was flat at 4.5732%. A New York federal appeals court has rejected a request by President Trump that E. Jean Carroll be prevented from collecting $5 million plus interest for damages from a jury verdict that held him civilly liable for sexually abusing and defaming the writer. Trump's lawyer said money should not be released unless and until the Supreme Court rejects the president's bid for reconsideration. Futures are mixed as chip stocks rise. NASDAQ futures up by more than 100 points. Yesterday, the Dow lost 576. That's your money now.
From the FIFA World Cup to competitive business environments, grand ambitions lead to game-changing achievements. At Bank of America, we're there to support businesses at every step, providing insights and expertise to help you gain an edge.
He shoots, he scores.
What would you like the power to do? Explore winning business solutions at bofa.com/gamechangers. Bank of America, official bank of the FIFA World Cup 2026.
Billy Anderson here with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. The team at Anderson Subaru is proud to join the celebration of 250 years of American freedom. Now through July 31st, you'll get a free American flag when you buy any new Subaru from Anderson Subaru. Right now, you get 0.9% financing for 75 months or $1,500 off TSRP on 2026 Ascent models. Plus, you can get 3.9% financing for 48 months or $1,500 off TSRP on any new Forester hybrid in stock. And we have 1.9% financing for 75 months or $1,500 off TSRP on any new Outback in stock. Take home a Subaru, grab a flag, and celebrate America's historic milestone. At Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola. For details, call 877-554-9791.
Subaru for you, Subaru for you. Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
The board recommends approving.
Regarding
the
that seat on the committee, we're promoting.
To boost quarterly earnings.
Every day, shareholders meet to discuss important matters about the companies you invest in. Now you can easily make your voice heard. Vanguard Investor Choice gives you a say in the companies you invest in. With just a few taps, you can set your proxy voting preference for your index funds. Visit Vanguard.com/investor choice to learn more. Vanguard investors own shares of our index funds, which own shares of the companies they invest in. Available for Vanguard index funds that participate in Investor Choice. Vanguard Marketing Corporation distributor.
Hi, this is David Williams. I'm seeking re-election to the Escambia County School Board in District 3. I worked for 35 years in the school system, where I've made a difference in students' lives, where I help increase the graduation rate, making sure our schools are safe, and ensuring our students are college and career ready. Please visit my webpage at davidwilliams3.com and view my platform for District 3. Re-elect David Williams, Escambia School Board.
Paid political ad by David Williams for Escambia County School Board District 3.
Planning your vacation? Why not take Pep Talk with Meg with you?
A vacation? Oh my God! Oh my God, I can't wait to go. Okay, where are we gonna go first?
No, take News Radio along via the app.
Oh.
Just go to your app store, search News Radio 92.3, download the app,
okay,
and listen to Pensacola's news leader with crystal clarity wherever you go. And it's absolutely free.
That'll work.
Get it now and tap the app to get News Radio 92.3 no matter where in the world you are.
Good morning, 641 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's a Pensacola Morning News. That's like Disco Fridays here with, you know, Candy does the voicing for all of
for Playlist 94.5. Yeah, our sister station.
If you ever want to hear more of Candy, you can hear it on our sister station.
That's right.
94.5, which is
all me,
one of my
day.
Wife's two stations that she likes to listen to.
Oh, and she listens to my
we're not
station.
The other one.
Yeah, I know. That's what my husband listens to.
Not us, yeah. No, not me. She gets enough of me at home. That's there's a long story behind all that, and all of it would be true. Anyway, Eric Winstrom yesterday, chief of police, giving an update. He was at the at DC Reeves press conference, of course, talking about the shooting that took place early in the morning of the 5th, Sunday morning.
I want to update you guys on the investigation, but first and foremost, I want to start up and express the police department's condolences to Mr. Philip Shepard Jr.'s family again. We are doing everything we can to support them, and I hope the others in the city step up and do the same for this grieving family.
Of course. And a key thing that they want everybody to know is if you know anything, please tell them. And this is actually, this is not some pro forma, just they're supposed to say it. They have noticed that when there's a press conference, when there's news coverage of this incident, it leads to people showing up and talking and giving information, and it's a very important thing, whether because people suddenly realize, oh, this isn't solved yet, or, you know, I can be helpful, or maybe they're afraid that, you know, they're going to be implicated somehow and they want to come forward with the information they have. Whatever the case is, we need the public's help, like in all of these cases. They are getting a lot of public help, but they need even more.
Also, I'm asking today for the public's help. To reach out to the police department, to stop by the police department. And if that's not an option, if there's individuals who have information, because we know they're out there, that want to remain anonymous, go through Crime Stoppers, either by calling 850-433-STOP. You can also anonymously go on their website, GulfCoastCrimeStoppers.org. You can text them. So we know that there's individuals, a lot of individuals that were out there, and it's very important that we're able to provide answers and justice for this family.
Right. And of course, you know, people will have had cell phone video and people who just saw things, of course, obviously. So what did we learn yesterday? One of the key things we learned, two people have been arrested in connection with the shooting.
There have been two arrests made. We have not made an arrest with the charge of homicide yet. But what we have are two individuals that were very much involved in this incident, a 26-year-old resident of Mobile, Alabama, named Nicholas Safford, was arrested yesterday by detectives of the Pensacola Police Department for aggravated assault, for discharging a firearm on scene, and for being a multiple-time convicted felon in possession illegally of a handgun, as well as a second individual, 25-year-old resident of Escambia County, Lillian Myers, was placed into custody by PPD also last night. And what Lillian is charged with is receiving a gun on scene that was used in this shooting incident and taking it away from the scene. So that's going to be, she's charged with both tampering with evidence and accessory after the fact.
And when he first said it, I guess maybe I was dense. I didn't quite follow what he meant. It means that the first guy, the allegation is that the first guy who was the primary shooter, the first person to shoot, he said that later on in the press conference, you know, engaged in the shooting and then gave the gun to the girl who took it away to get the evidence away from him so that he wouldn't be caught with the evidence. That's the allegation. Just like you saw in, you know, Oakwood Terrace when you had that video of this woman going and grabbing the gun after it had been shot that was laying down on the ground. And you're like, well, that's, you know, you cannot tamper with the evidence and, you know, receiving a firearm and all of that. So, yeah, those, I mean, problematic, and they're working in conjunction with each other, essentially collaboration with each other. That's why the, you know, aiding and abetting after the fact, right?
Again, no charges of murder at this time. However, we are making significant progress with the forensic evidence, with the interviews, and continuing the investigation.
Now, to me, I'm going to read just a little bit into Chief Winstrom's comment there, because I don't think he deliberately said murder. I think that he inadvertently said murder. It seems clear to me that this would be a murder charge. He had earlier said the more diplomatic, more neutral umbrella homicide. So I think we should expect there to be a murder charge in this case, which is not surprising. And I don't necessarily think that he meant to say murder at that exact moment, but that would be the charge that we would be expecting from whoever they can identify as having been the person who pulled the trigger, or might be multiple people who pulled the trigger that wound up killing the victim. But remember, there's the felony murder rule, which means that anybody who was involved in this, if you drive the car that goes to the convenience store where somebody gets killed in the commission of a robbery, you as the driver, even though you didn't even touch a gun, are still part of the felonious conduct. You can be charged just like you pulled the trigger. And so I would expect that even if they, and you never know whether they might ever know for sure who actually fired the fatal shot or fatal shots, we don't know any of these things yet. But anybody who was involved in this in an ahead of time premeditated way would potentially be charged not just with the murder, but with the felony murder rule. We'll come back to this in just a second. Let's see. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
This report brought to you by Mothers Against Drunk Driving. For victims of drunk and drug driving, your grief is not or is unique, but you are not alone. You always have a place at MADD, M-A-D-D. You can call the 24-hour victim helpline at 877-MAD-HELP or visit mad.org. Highway 97 headed from Molino to Atmore slow as they work on the road repavement this morning, and the front gate of Pensacola NAS is still backed up over the bridge. 437-1620 if you see that accident or slowdown. Candy with traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Candy. Back to the press conference yesterday. It was really the mayor's press conference, but of course the first set of comments were about the shooting from the weekend. Eric Winstrom, chief of police.
One other point that I'm willing to share publicly now is that we've identified that at least three firearms were used on scene, that we know now that there were at least three shooters in this incident. Obviously, we've already identified and put handcuffs on one of them. We do want the public's help, and even those involved on the sidelines of this incident to come forward and do the right thing, provide the answers that the city so desperately needs.
And I know the question that a lot of people have been asking is well, there's cameras everywhere. Why aren't they releasing photos of the suspects, video, that kind of stuff? Rick Outson asked that exact question. It's an obvious question. It's a good question.
Do you have any video or photos that you can release for us?
We have videos that we are considering doing that. But at this point in time, Rick, the way the investigation's going, it's more helpful for us to retain that information. As we go through, as we're talking to those involved, as we're talking to witnesses that are coming forward, it's more helpful. So there's always a judgment call of what to make public, what not to make public. And at this point in time, it's more beneficial to the integrity of the investigation to withhold the information we have. But if you stop by Palafox down there, you'll see that there's very, very obvious surveillance cameras in the area. So I think it's not a secret that some of or all of this incident was captured in some part on video.
Yeah, so there's lots of video. And in addition to the static video that will be available and is available to them, you have, of course, people who are turning in any evidence that they were shooting at the time or videoing at the time. Sorry. Inadvertent phrase. But also think body cams for any of the police officers who showed up on the scene, because as soon as they show up and they're engaged in any kind of police activity, body camera goes on, right? So that's lots of body camera footage, which may, of course, not be of the person, but is part of the whole fabric, the quilt of evidence that goes around this incident that can be then compared with things that happened before. And you can really learn a lot about who's there, who's involved based on behaviors.
To add the complexity just to how policing is in 2026, I mentioned there were over 50 police officers down on scene. There were a lot of incidents. I talked about, 20 fights that we responded to. Every time a police officer was taking police action, they activated their body-worn camera. We believe that most, if not every one of the involved individuals were down there for a significant amount of time. So what we have is a team of detectives that are going backwards and looking at what amounts to, in the aggregate, hundreds of hours of body-worn camera video, so that we could see, because for example, if an individual dons a mask at some point in time before this heinous incident, we likely have perfectly good video of them without a mask on, wearing the exact same clothes from, you know, minutes earlier. So it's a lot of people hours to sit down and do it, but we're doing it.
So somebody might have a mask on at the time of the shooting, but if you can piece that together between body camera and static cameras, you can go back and find that same person in those same clothes 20 minutes prior when they were just walking around without a mask on. If the mask was put on as a preamble to the murder, because that's how they were going to think they were going to protect their identity. Well, guess what? It doesn't really work that way. So that's something that they're working on. He was also asked about the injuries, any of the people who were not, there were six other people who were shot, right?
Well, no one remains in a situation that they've sustained life-threatening injuries, but we do have one individual, I believe, that sustained catastrophic injuries to their hand, likely lifelong, disabling injury. It is fortunate that no other lives were lost, but I think each one of these individuals will probably for a very long time come and suffer the consequences of this. So not the best news, but certainly could be worse.
And he was also asked about the type of guns, how many guns, which he'd said before, there were three shooters, three guns at least.
It appears that all three were handguns, which tracks on, statistics from this, and the fact that these individuals were walking around the events, the July 4th events for so many hours. It is difficult to secrete a shotgun, a rifle in, shorts and T-shirts. It's not so difficult to do so with a handgun, likely 9mm or so. So common guns used in crimes across the country, and that's what it appears to be here.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's any surprise there, but it is confirmation of what we figured. Yeah, he's right. It's hard to hide a rifle or a shotgun underneath your shorts. I know people who are very good at concealing a lot of guns, but, typically it's not very common. A handgun is a lot more common. And then this was the part where he explains that they believe that Nicholas Safford was, in fact, the original person to raise a weapon and fire, which is why the aggravated assault charges, and I would expect more charges against him in the future.
Nicholas Safford, he does appear to be from the documented court. It's publicly available now, information that we have. He is likely the first individual to fire a gun. It's very possible that he is the first individual to produce a gun. He's been charged with aggravated assault because, he raised the gun up and individuals were in fear for their safety. So the investigation direction it looks like is headed is that incident, that this individual was the flashpoint for this tragedy. What preceded that, what sort of conversations or what sort of historical feud, we're still working on that.
Yeah, and a lot of this they're keeping close to the vest because they're working on the investigation, and we've talked about that before. We'll know as we know, and, we'll be talking to PPD coming up next hour. We'll ask a few more questions and see what else we might be able to learn. Every day we get new revelations. As far as the curfew goes, the mayor talked about this yesterday. He'd previously, of course, he told us that he's in favor of this. The sheriff has said he's in favor of this. The chief is in favor of the idea. There's no philosophical objection to it. I've lived under, when I was a minor, I lived under curfews. It chafes at you if you're a good citizen, but there you go. And, of course, even though people have seemed to have a knack for misunderstanding everything, some people actually thought they were talking about a curfew for adults, which is, it's not martial law. We're talking about for the teenagers, minors in this case.
The conversation continues around a curfew. I've met with the city attorney's office already. We've made lots of headway, again, kind of templating off of the state statute and making sure that those things fit.
Yeah, exactly right. And just making sure that the ordinance is appropriate. And I would figure within the next month or maybe two at most that we probably will have a curfew ordinance of some type in the city of Pensacola. 6:54 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you're thinking about buying or selling a home, Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrinky Realty, they're very, very good at this. One of the things that makes her and her team so excellent is they're just passionate about being better. Always passionate about learning how to do a thing. I always think of she was telling me one time that, somebody came to her and it was a divorce. And, if you think there's two people are the owners of a home and they can't get along well enough to manage to make a relationship work, how are they going to be as clients in real estate? Well, it's hard. I mean, it's not easy to figure that out. So she handled it. And then she said, well, I need to learn how to be better at this. Let's go take some courses. Let's become good at handling a difficult circumstance. Same thing with estate sales. You know, families get along until, unfortunately, when parents die, kids don't always get along, inheritors don't always get along. And, you know, four people own the house. How do you sell a house when some want to keep it, some want to sell it? You know, it's challenging, very challenging. So found this sort of situation and then learned how to become better at it. And now they're very, very good at handling that in the most effective way possible. So it's just that passion for understanding not just the market and not just your needs and not just what the houses are doing, but all the various circumstances and things that they can be better at all the time. It's that passion for being better that makes them so great. 786-3996 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Levin Rinky Realty. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
And Highway 97 headed from Molino to Atmore, still a little slow as they work on that road repavement. That's happening this morning. And the front gate at Pensacola NAS is still backed up over the bridge. Caution, wherever you are, 437-1620. You can always call or text if you see that accident or slow down this morning. It's Candy with traffic on the five. Day. Make it clear
every child is wanted here. Hi, folks. This is Bulldog attorney Dan Stewart. The Blue Angels inspire a culture of excellence. Abused or homeless children do not have a jury of their peers. Let's inspire a culture of excellence to protect our children. With Bulldog Dan, we make it clear every child is wanted.
Whether you want to start your education or advance your career, Pensacola State College is the place for you. Join the 91% of PSC students who graduate loan-free and select from over 100 programs ranging from career certificates to baccalaureate degrees. In addition, Pensacola State has over 300 scholarships to choose from, including cybersecurity. Register today for the fall semester. Go to pensacolastate.edu. That's pensacolastate.edu to learn more.
Greater Pensacola's leaders are in the tallest buildings and smallest shops, and they come together here to drive growth and innovation, to bridge industries, to share fresh ideas, and to understand how they can play a part in Greater Pensacola's success. The Greater Pensacola Chamber of Commerce. We believe local businesses are the cornerstone of a great community.
There are a lot of questions about roof replacement in the news lately, such as insurance companies demanding replacement before they cancel coverage to companies not doing the job that they sold to you. Make sure you tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 9:30 as Quality Roofing Solutions will answer your questions. Find out what makes Quality Roofing Solutions the premier contractor in Florida today at 9:30.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Keeping you connected to Pensacola and the world.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative. Informative. Local. Dependable.
Dependable. Sometimes you feel like a nut. Sometimes you don't.
Well, I was born on a Sunday. A Thursday I had me a job.
I'll tell you. The title of the song is The Working Man. Isn't that great? This is off of the very first Creedence Clearwater Revival album. It's the second song. Great. And it's a great song. I love it. But there's that a job. All right, David Wayne is in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. We've lost Candy entirely. I love it.
Now ahead, just
David.
Let that song play. That's good stuff.
It is.
The Obama Presidential Center is going to have a role to play in an upcoming WNBA All-Star Game. The league announced that the museum is hosting several media and community events there throughout July 24th and 25th, and the All-Star Game is on the 25th as well. President Trump is pushing for the Supreme Court to rehear a case challenging U.S. birthright citizenship immediately. Social media post yesterday, the president called last week's decision a, quote, miscarriage of justice. He's calling for the case to be reheard.
Yeah, and what is a very common thing you would expect from President Trump, a well-reasoned, nuanced, evidence-based analysis of the Supreme Court's opinion. The Supreme Court's opinion is like 140 pages. And his Trump social tweet does not count.
Stream us at NewsRadio.